And, you know, people have the sense that we're in the United States and, you know, we're really blessed and basically nothing bad can happen to us. You know, and that was the mindset I got from everybody. So, you know, we're in the United States. You know, what could go wrong? You know, we have so many things. And yet we were getting messages at church saying, you know, time after time, be prepared. Over and over we heard be prepared. So much so that we were basically getting tired of hearing be prepared. You know, we were thinking like, be prepared for what? Like could anything really that bad happen in this country? And even myself, I found myself saying, okay, I've heard enough about preparation. Can we move on and talk about something else? And so it was tricky, you know, it's tricky to keep your focus, but during that whole time, God was speaking to us. He was saying like, listen, something's coming. And we were really meant to know something was coming. And we should have been blessed by knowing that God was really trying to get a message through our head. And for me, I'm a little thick-headed, so it takes time and repetition a lot of times. And I think that's what was going on. And what we saw is within 2 weeks, this country has gotten shut down, like literally shut down. And we're all separated and we don't know what to do and we're isolated and you know, I'm a people person. I like to be around people. I like to high five people. You ever try to high five in the air? It kind of looks stupid, doesn't it? I mean, like you just, you know, I like to touch people and shake their hand and give them a hug. And here we are, we're 2 weeks. We can't do any of that stuff. So some big changes have happened very quickly. And in a lot of ways, we were prepared a little bit. You know, I called around, talked to a lot of our members at church and some other people, and there was some preparation that was done. You know, people had food and people had toilet paper, which obviously was like a big concern for people. It was cool to hear that people were actually physically prepared. And I think most people in our church were spiritually prepared, which is even more important. Rachel, you're back, not muted again, just so you know.
people's mute, so I can work on that.
Oh, okay, thank you. So anyways, there was a lot of preparation that was going on, and yet when this all came down, the churches were unprepared. We just weren't ready for this again. Who could have predicted? Who would have known that we would be in this situation? And so some discussions started happening within church bodies, and I heard the debates of different people from our congregation and from other congregations, YouTube and the radio, and just trying to figure out, how does this all work? And do we get together? Even though it's discouraged by the government, and there were restrictions on how many people could get together and not get together. And there was two basic debates that were going on within the church. And one side of the debate was that we show a lack of faith if we don't gather, right? So if we're not getting together, then we're showing the world, well, you know, these people are supposed to be faithful, so God's going to protect us, so we need to get together. And the other side of the debate was, you know, we don't want this thing to get worse. And the government is saying, don't get together. And we need to listen to the government. Jesus said, you need to listen to the government, you know? So there was these two debates that were going on all the time. And both could be right. And both could be wrong. So where do we go with all this? And this could be going, you know, this is just an example, but you could throw other examples into this mix any way you want it. But when this happens, you know, then it's a time that we should be looking at the Bible. We should be really digging into the Bible more and saying, like, what does God say about all this? And so that's what I started doing. And it led me to, Ecclesiastes, which is a book that I don't typically go into, but he brought me into Ecclesiastes 3:1. So if you guys got your Bibles, you can either just listen to me or read in your Bible, but I'm going to go for the New Living Translation just because it's easier. But it says in Ecclesiastes, it says, "For everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to harvest, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to cry and a time to laugh, a time to grieve and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to turn away, a time to search and a time to quit searching, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be quiet and a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace." And so I get done reading that and I'm like, what's the lesson there, you know? And it didn't really clarify the mindset that I was thinking it was going to clarify. So then I said, well, I'm going to pray to God and I'm just going to see like what does he mean by all this? And so I was praying to God, and basically what he was telling me is that there's all kinds of different avenues. He's given us such freedom, a beautiful, really beautiful freedom to make decisions. But he's also saying that he wants us to be connected with him. He said, "I want you and I want others to be connected to me so closely that they know what I want from you and them." So closely. That's really the key thing. And so if you look at James 1:5, it says, "If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking." He wants us asking him all the time, like, "What do you want me to do in this situation?" He doesn't want you asking him 10% of the time, 20% of the time. He wants you to ask him all the time, especially when it's important things. And I just felt like, wow, like he's begging, and especially during this time, he's begging that he wants a connection. And what better time really than when we're all separated and we're locked in our houses and there's not a lot to do, you know? What a better time for us to get connected with him. And I think part of the message that God is saying is I'm stripping everything away from you. I'm taking all these distractions away from you. And I want to be connected with you. I want you to search for me and reach for me and hear my word clearer. I was just praying and I was just like, man, I want to have a heart for that. I want to utilize this time to become closer to you, God. Everyone has a different role and different purposes. Some are to walk into the fire and some are to walk away from the fire. That's what God is saying is that you can go either way, but I have a specific purpose for each one of you. I'm going to call you to do a particular thing. And when he tells us this, the question becomes, are we going to trust him enough to do what he says? You know, he's saying, listen, you know, in that example, he may say to five people, "We want you to get together and pray and have like a little church service." For the rest of us, we may have gotten a message from God saying, "You need to stay away. You need to go and maybe watch something on YouTube or listen to somebody else." And there's a reason I want you to do that. So that's just some of the thoughts that was going in my head. So the question becomes, so how do we know which is our purpose, you know? And so Jesus is speaking to his apostles in John 14:15, and he says, listen, if you love me, obey my commandments, right? So right off the bat, he's saying, like, there's a criteria, you know, obey my commandments. If we obey his commandments, then something's going to happen, right? And so, if you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father. So he'll go to the Father, and he'll ask him something, and he will give you another advocate, right? So he's talking to the disciples here, but he's also talking to us, right? He's saying another advocate is going to come for you, who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it is not looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. Amen. Right? Like, so he's saying, this is a point where he's kind of like getting ready to leave, right? He's going to get killed. He's saying, listen, another advocate's going to be with you. And guess what? It's going to be with each one of us, inside of us, guiding us, loving on us, leading us. What a beautiful thing, right? And so, if we go to 1 John 2:27, it says, but you have received the Holy Spirit, and he lives within you. So you don't need anyone to teach you what is true, right? So he's saying, like, listen, don't listen to people. Listen to what I am saying. Don't be guided by other people. Listen to what I say for your purpose, to you as an individual, to teach you what is true. For the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know. And what he teaches is true. It is not a lie, right? So if you're listening to the Holy Spirit, if you're praying to God, if you're being connected with God in a big, big way, and you're getting rid of distractions, wow, you cannot be misguided. You will always do the right thing. Now, other people may criticize you for that, for doing your decision. But who cares? Because the Holy Spirit is the one that we're trying to listen to. We're trying to listen to God himself guide each one of us. What a beautiful, beautiful thing. All right. So just as he taught you, remain in fellowship with Christ. He's saying, like, listen, you need to be in fellowship with Christ. Be connected strongly, right? Just hang in there. Be connected. The more you connect, the more he's going to draw near to you. And that's what we're going to see here. Hosea 14:9. Let those who are wise understand these things. Let those with discernment listen carefully. He's saying, listen, I'm going to give you discernment. Discernment is where it's at. Discernment is when you're so connected with God that God is going to guide you, and you're just going to do what he says. You're going to understand his love for you. You're going to understand his passion for you. You're going to understand his will for you, and you're going to move in his will. Wow. It's unbelievable. The paths of the Lord are true and right, and righteous people live by walking in them. Are we going to be righteous enough to live in him, to listen to him, to walk the way that he wants us to walk? But in those paths, sinners stumble and fall, right? So we're still sinners, and we stumble and fall, but we're not meant to be staying down there. We're meant to keep getting up, to keep pursuing God. So don't give up. Just keep pursuing him. Keep praying to him. Love, you know, he's going to guide us, but we need to keep going. We need to keep digging, and we're going to make mistakes. we're going to think we're hearing from God, and once in a while that devil's going to get in there and he's going to mess with our minds. And we need to say, no, I'm not going to let the devil do that today. I'm going to pursue God. I'm going to look to God. I'm going to try to just really get a hold of God and what he wants from us. James 4:8 says, come close to God and he will come close to you. The more we pursue God, the more he's going to pursue us. That's what that says. And the more we search his will out, guess what? The clarity increases. Like, we don't start to have any questions. We can hear his voice clear as day. There's sometimes I hear God and I'm like, wow, there is no question. Even though I don't auditorily hear him, there is no question that is God leading my life. There's other times when I'm so distracted, I can't hear him. And I have to draw closer to him. I have to maybe get rid of distractions. Maybe I have to pray more, look in the word more, try to find out what he's trying to tell me more. And as I do that, he's just gonna infiltrate my mind and give me clarity. And continue saying, wash your hands, you sinner. Boy, that's it. How relevant is that, right? Like, wash your hands, right? How many times have you heard wash your hands lately? It's crazy, right? Wash your hands. My hands are getting so irritated and just raw. It's like, wash your hands. But he's saying, like, listen, wash your hands, you sinners. We sin, we need to cleanse ourselves, right? There's some repentance that has to go on. There's some prayer that needs to go on to say, okay, I need to change here, Lord, right? He says, purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Our loyalty is divided by the world. Oh, man, it just... I'm sitting here thinking of all the things that have gotten stripped away lately. Just thinking how much of that stuff is really needed. Is my mind really where it should be set on Christ or not? I mean, we're talking about eternity here. We're not talking about just our little lives here, our 70 to 90, maybe 100 if we're lucky, year life here, right? We're talking about eternity. We need to be centered on Christ. And having this stuff stripped away is really starting to say, wow, you know, what is important in our lives? Is this important? Is that important? It makes you wonder, right? But he's saying, like, don't be divided. This is a good lesson for us. Let's not be divided. Let's try to take this time that we're in right now and connect more. And then after, when everything comes back up to life, let's not be divided the way we were divided from Christ before. Let's try to really focus on God. He's saying, I want your focus. You can be doing stuff. You can be active. But I want you to bring me with you everywhere you go and everything you do. In John 14:26, it says, but when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. So the Holy Spirit knows the Bible inside and out, obviously. So he's in us and he can guide us, even if you're not a person that can memorize scripture or anything like that. He's in us. He's guiding us the whole time. So we got to trust. We got to trust that Holy Spirit is going to guide us the right way always, right? And so don't ever let people deter you. We still have purpose. The Holy Spirit right now is telling us what we need to do in this time. Supposed to be active. We are supposed to be reaching people. We are supposed to be helping people. If there's ever a time to help people, right now is that time. There is a harvest out there. People don't know Christ. They have questions. They're worrying. They're in depression. If all this would have went down, probably about 20 years ago now, since I really came to Christ, I would have been in turmoil. I would have been freaking out. I would have been depressed. I would have been nervous. I would have been crying. I mean, just weird things. But now that I know Christ, and have the Holy Spirit in me, things have changed. I can deal with this stuff so much more. I'm not going to sit here and say I don't worry about things totally. But I'll tell you what, my worries are so much less. It's incredible. And when I do, guess what I do? I pray. I turn to God and I say, listen, I need your help right now. I sent your Spirit in me and given me peace, even when I shouldn't feel peaceful. It's a beautiful thing. It's unbelievable. It's totally a miracle from God. I'm telling you right now, this is hard for me right now to do this because I'm just so used to people interacting. And so sitting here right now, I just want to jump up and just hear people and yell back and forth and just like get it all going. But there's a passion in me. And I love Christ, and I love what he did in my life, and I'm praying that everybody else is in that same boat, especially within our church. First John. Yeah.
I said amen. We're there with
you. Oh, thank you. That's awesome. Thanks. I'm going to go to 1 John 2:27. Did I read that already? No. Okay. 1 John 2:27. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give you is a gift the world cannot give. So that scripture, boy, that one really hit me. I am leaving you a gift, right? So Jesus is telling again, he's talking to the apostles, I'm leaving you a gift, right? But he's talking to us. Where he's talking to us and he's saying peace of mind. He's giving us peace of mind and heart. So he doesn't want us in confusion. He doesn't want us fearful. He wants us with peace of mind and heart, right? And that's what it's about. And the world is definitely not going to give us that, especially the world right now. The world is in chaos, and we cannot let that happen to us as a church, as a believer. We need to be strong in the Lord, and we need to be active, and we need to be answering questions. And we need to just reach the people as much as we can, whether it's through the phone, through the internet, through standing 6 feet away, and you're standing in Subway, and they have markings on the floor in Subway right now showing you where 6 feet is. So you're 6 feet away from somebody, and somebody starts talking about how worried they are, or there are so many things coming on, and the pressure and the depression setting in. That's a great time to talk to them, even though you're 6 feet away, right? It can still happen. And we're going to go back to Ecclesiastes again, and we're going to go to 3:11. Yeah, okay. This is really like a summary. Like what's going on right now is like we can't see the whole picture. But guess what? God does. God knows beginning to end, right? He gets the whole thing. He knows where this was going to start, and he knows where this whole virus thing is going to end. There's a lot to be learned during this time, and what I think he's really kind of saying is, are you learning something? Don't be sedentary. Don't be in a slumber. Are you learning something? So Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. So even now, in the situation that we're in, I went for a hike yesterday, and there was such beauty. It was beautiful. I look outside. I'm actually facing the outdoors right now as I'm talking to you guys, and it is beautiful. You know, God has made beautiful stuff. We're not doing a great job taking care of it, but but he's made beautiful, beautiful stuff, right? And so he's made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity into the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. We were made for a time like this, you know? I think God puts everybody in place during a certain time period, and we are made for this time period. He sees that. He knew that when he created us. He said, they're going to be going through some stuff, but I want Reggie, I want John, I want Crystal, I want my parents, I want these people here during that time, because they are going to have a purpose that they need to do. He saw that at the beginning. He's seeing that through the end. What is going to be our purpose? We are to be the light to people, right? We're supposed to be the light. If there's a dark time, right now is a pretty dark time, right? But it could be worse. It could be worse. It could be a lot better, right? But it is kind of a dark time right now. And we are to be the light. We are to be different than the rest of the world. We are to show that we are not as scared and nervous. We know who to lean into. We know where to get the answers. We know how to pursue Christ with all our heart. We know that this is a great opportunity to show people that when things are going bad, we turn to Christ. I'm going to be checking temperatures on Tuesday up at the hospital to make sure that if anybody has a temperature, they go to the right place. And one of my colleagues did that on Friday. And he said to me, he says, listen, bring something to read because it is boring. Nobody's coming into the hospital. It's going to be busy when the workers come in during their shift change, and then it is boring. And I said, I am bringing my Bible. That will be beautiful. It will force me. I'm going to be there 10 hours. I don't know if I can read the Bible for 10 hours. But anyways, I'm going to be there for 10 hours. But anyways, I was just trying to say, like, listen, if I'm going to read something, I'm going to read something out of the Bible, because that is where I'm gonna turn to. I'm gonna turn to Christ. That's where it's at. That's what's gonna guide me and make good decisions. So we're to be the light. We are meant to be different than the rest of the world. We need to be helping in some capacity. This world is hurting right now. There is financial issues, and there is people who can't find toilet paper. Can we bring them toilet paper? Absolutely. Can we, people don't have certain foods to, you know, you can't find certain meats. We are not meant to just sit back in our own home, put our heads in the sand, and just be glad that we're comfortable. That is not our purpose. That is not our purpose. We are children of Christ. We are meant to be more. He made us to be more. He's built us up to be more. Let's be active. Let's not panic. Let's not be fearful. Let's take action, right? And I'm going to close with 2 Timothy 1:7, because this is my favorite scripture of all time. It speaks to me, because I was a person who lived in fear. And Christ broke me out of that. And I am so thankful to God for doing that. It's just unbelievable. But I've never said this, and I don't think all the times I preach, I've never said this scripture, but 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. He gives us power when we don't think we have power. When we're nervous, he can ramp us up and utilize our nervousness and make us act. He gives us love that he wants us to share with others. And discipline, self-discipline. There is a time to listen, and it takes discipline. And the Holy Spirit is in us. He is loving on us. He wants us to listen, to pursue him. Now is the time. We are to be active. Don't stop. Rise up. Be strong. God bless you. And I'm going to close with a prayer. Dear Jesus, you are giving us some strong words today. Strong words that I am taking to heart. And I pray that the rest of us are taken to heart. I pray that whatever you wanted me to say came out the right way and people could hear your word. That they understand that there is a purpose for their lives, even in the midst of chaos. That they were created for a time such as this. That they were created by a beautiful, beautiful God that gives us each a purpose. Help us not to be fearful. Help us to be strong. Help us to go out there and change the world. Help us to be that light. Help us to be the shoulder to lean on, even though it's not a physical leaning, a 6 foot away leaning, whatever it has to be, a telephone leaning, a talk on Messenger, whatever the case is, give us the words. Help us through this time. We know you're in control. We love you for that. We love you for sending your Holy Spirit to guide us. And I just thank you and love you with all my heart. I'm sure everybody else does too. In your name, amen. Whew!